You're listening to You Are by The Bad Plus, a local band from here in Minneapolis, according to my co-host Tim Bakeless. That's off the album Never Stop. This is the Wolves Wired Podcast, part of the Hardwood Paroxysm Basketball Network Podcast Center. You can follow the Hardwood Paroxysm Basketball Network at HPB Network. His name is Tim Bakeless. You can find him on the Twitter machine, TimFakLis. I will always spell his Twitter handle out because Tim loves it when people spell his name correctly. Am I correct, Tim?
Not just spell it, but pronounce it correctly.
Did I pronounce it correctly
sure did.
As well?
You're Man, pro.
That would be embarrassing if I did that wrong. Let's just get right into the thick of things. The A topic today, or the big news, pertinent Wolves matter, is Anthony Bennett and the Wolves are progressing on a contract buyout, according to Adrian Wojnarowski of Yahoo Sports. Woj, as he's more commonly known and more properly pronounced. Bennett's reps, apparently, according to league sources, have been eager for a contract buyout to allow him the chance for greater playing time. There were a whole bunch of details, Tim, included in that report about where Bennett could end up, but ultimately, the fact that he wouldn't be with the Wolves anymore is as far as I really want to go today.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't get much playing time with the Wolves last year. He didn't get much playing time with the Cavs the year before.
He did get better from one year to the other, though.
Yeah, and I'm assuming part of that is from the weight loss. He was definitely in better shape his second year around. He had some injury problems his rookie year. But ultimately, even with those issues alleviated in his second year, and a chance for him to play power forward, especially before they got Garnett and behind Thaddeus Young, he never really found his stride, especially after he lost that mid-range jumper from the beginning of the year.
I know there will be certain Wolves minds who probably won't be so high on the move. I think Bennett is
Andy.
We don't need to name names, but I think Bennett's a. Watching his highlights before jumping and doing this podcast, it's obvious that he's talented and athletic, and I think he'll end up getting a shot somewhere else just because he won't come at the price tag of $5.8 million. But the Wolves didn't need him, right? I mean, you're going to look back and retroactively, I think no matter what way you put it, the Wolves didn't need him.
And not only that, I mean, he didn't live up to what they hoped they'd get out of him. I don't think they necessarily expected him to have some sort of monumental improvement, but I'm also assuming they were hoping for more out of him than they got. Well, and like you said, they're pretty set at power forward between Garnett, Bailey, and now Payne, Roddish.
At first, with the way Roddish played at Eurobasket, which, with how players play at Eurobasket, you don't take too much into account for that. But do you think the Wolves saw Bjelica and were like, man, this guy can pretty much do everything we need him to do. Anthony Bennett hasn't been able to do that. What does that play a part in it, do you think? I mean, now they're down to 15 players on the roster. In our initial podcast, I think it was, We slimmed the roster down to 15. And I don't think we talked about Anthony Bennett being traded as a possibility. I think we narrowed it down to Lorenzo Brown getting cut and Rudesh getting cut. But whatever. I don't think either of us saw this coming.
No, I saw... I know that they were talking about having him on the trade block. That was rumored. I didn't think that they'd be willing to go down the path of buying out the number one pick from 2 years ago. There's not necessarily a stigma that goes with it. I don't think it's ever happened before.
This is the second year in a row the Wolves have put a player who seemingly didn't fit on the roster as it was constructed. Last year it was Barea.
Yep.
And nobody, I think the consensus was maybe they'll buy out Barea or maybe they can trade him. But then they ended up buying it out. It's like, okay, this is a buyout. This is something that doesn't usually happen up here in Wolvesville. And all of a sudden now, this is a significant buyout, right? It's $5.8 million. I mean, there are details that go into buyouts that we don't need to get into, I guess. So it's not all on the hook for the Wolves. But, I mean,
Is there anything you're going to miss about Anthony Bennett? If you could, if you look back, is there anything in particular that you'll miss? There's one thing that I can think of.
Whenever he would block a shot, yelling "Border Patrol" is a good one.
That wasn't mine, but that's a good one.
What was yours?
Well, with the exception of the end of Wiggins' rookie season when he just figured out that he could jump over everybody, Bennett was the best in-game dunker on the team. Like, in-game.
Those are his only highlights, I think.
Yeah, that's it. It was throwing it down, you know, cocking it back and throwing it down. Or it was a mid-range jumper. We were looking at his highlights right before we started this up, and that's all it was. But his dunks are thunderous, and I'm going to miss that.
What is, well, why don't we just move right into the segue, the smooth segue that is discussing the other power forwards or athletic playmaking forwards, because positions don't exist anymore, I think, is the attitude we have now.
That's accurate.
Adrian Payne, why don't you start with him? How will this impact Adrian Payne's season?
Payne's the one guy I don't know that it affects. Amongst the power forwards, and I'm considering Garnett, Bielitsa, Radish, and then Payne.
I want to back my question up.
Okay.
Who would you have rather seen bought out, or who, if it were up to you, would you have cut loose from the roster? Bennett or Adrian?
If I had to pick?
If you had to pick.
If I had to pick, it would be Bennett. Payne really only had a half a rookie year in the NBA, and last year was his rookie year. Granted, Bennett's rookie year was riddled with injury.
And he's younger.
I think he had asthma problems his rookie year.
I want to say he was injured when he got drafted.
Yeah.
But he did. He does struggle with asthma, yes, and then he got an inhaler before his second season. Because I talked to him at the state fair, and somebody asked him how he was breathing, and he said he had taken care of some issues with his inhaler. I think last year he got the benefit of the doubt on the fresh start thing.
Right, so we've seen, let's just say, a full year of Bennett, plus, you know, we've seen enough, exactly. And with Payne, there were some ups, a lot of downs, but it was half a season. He spent most of his time with the Hawks in the D League. I'd like to see more of him. He's definitely an athlete. He works his butt off. There are definitely some basketball IQ questions with him. Sometimes I think he's going at 150 miles an hour, but that's the thing. I want to see if he can figure out how to slow it down because we haven't really given him a chance to improve yet.
That's fair. I think it's, you know, if you're picking between one or the other, it's how good of a position are you really in.
Right.
That's why I think Bielitsa will help some.
Agreed.
Although I do, looking at his defense, I do like his potential to play a bit more minutes than I did before him. Before I saw him play a Eurobasket, and, you know, I don't want to be too overreactionary, but I do think he can, because in the NBA it's about who you can guard, not necessarily so much what you do on offense. You can really play as long as you can guard somebody else who's on the floor, and I think Bielitsa can guard a lot of fives, if not fours, too, that are, you know, maybe a little more playmaking types, but you're going to need to get consistently solid performances out of at least one of those, Adrian Payne or Bielitsa, on a nightly basis behind Garnett, and then that's especially true when Garnett can't play. But do you think dropping Bennett means that Rudesh is now potentially capable of cracking the roster? I mean, he shot two. We don't want to overreact to Eurobasket performances, but we're going to cite their production at Eurobasket because it's the latest context we have. That's fair, correct?
I think that's fair.
Rudesh shot 2 of 19 at Eurobasket. It's not good.
He shot 2 of 19, 0 of 6 from 2-point land, 2 of 13 from 3-point land. I do want to cite that he shot over 40% with the Pacers last year.
In very limited minutes.
Sure. But, I mean, he only played 11 minutes a game Eurobasket. But, again, it's the most recent sample size.
Yeah, what have you done for me lately?
Right, exactly. So, you got to look at both. I'm assuming that the struggles from three are a little overstated. I think it's pretty well solidified that he can shoot three.
just as solidified as it is that he can't rebound.
Right. He definitely has limitations.
I don't mean to harp on him, but even one of our fearless leaders, Ian Levy, or Levy, I never figured out how to pronounce that, but I've never had to know until now. He wrote something at hardwoodparoxysm.com, and so the fact that our fearless leader, Ian Levy, endorses Rudesh is almost reason to say, hey, we got to give this guy a shot. But just from what we've seen, his rebounding percentage last year was the worst. I think it was the worst
right
in the league. It's just not. Doesn't look very good.
I mean, you traded.
He's a 29-year-old second-year player.
And you traded Chase Budinger for him, who.
Just to get Budinger off the books.
You could say he didn't have a great start at the Wolves.
But,
with the exception of maybe the last quarter of the season or whatever that was.
With what have you done for me lately?
Yeah,
we want to keep him almost. But then you take away minutes from Baz and.
That's a whole other ball game.
We're getting a little off topic there. Any other Eurobasket takeaways?
With Bealitsa specifically, I don't want to, and I've said this before, I don't want to get totally
overhyped.
I don't want to totally overhype what he did, but
I will.
I thought he looked really good. I think he was a little more inconsistent than some people give him. Are giving him credit for, but overall, if you watched him, whether you're a Wolves fan or not, and didn't come away impressed thinking that he can play in the NBA, I think you're wrong.
That's fair. I only saw him post up once. It's on the very first possession of the entire tournament, and not that that is necessarily a bad thing.
I don't think it's a bad thing at all.
But he only gets, like, he only got the ball on the, you know, the right or left wing. He's a very competent three-point shooter. He's more athletic than I thought he was. I think he could be a good player. I think he'll be slower in the NBA.
Sure. And
comparatively.
If we're going to go into strategy as he fits with the Wolves, the fact that he doesn't post, let's consider who plays small forward for the Wolves. Andrew Wiggins and Shabazz Muhammad.
Absolutely.
Love the post.
Absolutely.
I think that's important.
Part of the reason in thinking why you take Karl Anthony Towns over Jahlil Okafor.
That's definitely part of it.
One of many aspects of a conversation that was hashed out quite extensively on the internet around draft time. Spain ended up winning Eurobasket. Serbia, although they started 7-0, and who I had deemed the favorites to win the tournament, although I also said I didn't know that much, ended up losing to Lithuania in the semifinals, and then losing to France in the third place game, which didn't matter. There was really nothing at stake as far as an Olympic, an invitation to the Olympics is concerned. Spain ended up defeating Lithuania in the championship. Pau Gasol was the MVP of the tournament, basking in the glory of Eurobasket. He's just a beloved character over there. You could argue that he's more. He's just as famous, if not more famous, than Rafael Nadal.
He's a famous guy over there. I really liked the whole. There was a lot of culminating moments that seemed to happen at Eurobasket, whether it was Dirk after his last game with Germany.
Yep.
The big standing ovation. Tony Parker became the all-time FIBA leading scorer in this tournament. And then you had Pau's dominance with Spain.
And it's a great point. And then Tony Parker at the same time has people worried that he's going to fall off the edge in the upcoming NBA season. I mean, people are jumping off the cliff with Tony Parker, aren't they? Just the reaction from, I think he only shot like, I don't know, I want to say 33% from the field or something like that during the tournament. It just was not all too great of a show for him. But
I'm not worried about Tony Parker.
I'm not worried about anything Spursian.
That's the main reason.
Of that matter. But it will be fun to see LaMarcus Aldridge integrate with that team this year. Training camps start this coming Saturday, September 26th. That's just for teams participating in preseason NBA global games. So the Celtics, the Clippers, the Hornets, the Kings. You know, teams who will be around the world playing preseason games. I don't know if you want to congratulate them or say you're sorry for them. And then the Wolves preseason will begin on October 7th. So it's just around the corner, Tim.
It is.
I think Media Day is coming up at the end of the month.
It's actually a week from today.
Oh, wow.
October 28th. Or, sorry, September 28th. I'm excited.
I am, too.
I'm ready.
We made soft commitments to go cover the October 20th matchup against the Milwaukee Bucks at the Kohl Center in Milwaukee.
Madison,
I'm sorry. So if there's any Madison listeners who want to lodge, you know, Timmy and I for the evening, or at least me, Timmy can stay out on the porch, right, Tim? If you got a porch.
I'll take a couch.
All right. Yeah, we would appreciate that greatly and compensate you with beers or other alcoholic beverages or money if that's your thing.
Pizza.
Yeah, things like
whatever
that.
Whatever you want.
Amenities, anything but
sing a song.
A good time. Well, I think we're going to wrap it up early, Tim. Do you have any lasting thoughts on this podcast?
I don't think so. I think we covered it pretty well.
Well, there you have it. He's Tim Fakeless. I'm Zachary Bennett. This has been Wolf Wired. So long.